good to have you back in our airways talking a little high school football. I know, great time of the season. Quarterfinal Friday. Going back to last week, we kicked off the 11-man, kicked off the 6-man, continuing the 8-man. Your games you've covered, you've had a chance to watch some not-so-good games. There's been some lopsided games as well, hasn't there?
There have been. I mean, probably the best one I saw was the Elkhorn North comeback against Bennington with 4 lead changes, I think, in the last 6 minutes. And Sam Stanley, who, full disclosure, is one of the teachers for one of my kids, lost one of his twin sons to congenital heart disease just a couple weeks ago. And so it's been pretty emotional around Elkhorn North, and to have that drama on top of the drama already with the loss of a toddler, pretty emotional night.
Yeah, I saw your feature, saw the video on that, and if that didn't bring a tear to your eye, I don't know what would.
Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, it's part of life, and you know, the Stanleys have handled it with grace and would hate to ever be in that position, and I feel for anybody who has been in that position, and I've got several friends that have lost young ones, very young, so more power to them. But, you know, we had a couple wild ones in Class B, didn't we, last week?
Sure did. We watched that Seward team. I know they got away from McCook in the fourth quarter, and grit team for Coach Omfer over there. And they'll get a rematch with Waverly, a team from early in the season at Waverly. What Class B matchups are, I think all four are going to be pretty fun to watch.
I agree. And, you know, Seward, they lost their quarterback for the year with a season-ending injury before the season. And, you know, so they're doing this with who they thought was going to be their number two quarterback. You know, so 8-2, 8 straight wins. You know, Waverly, you know, they're number one. They're in my top 10 overall. And they've had some injuries up front, probably since they saw Seward the last. But, you know, Reed Manstead does a good job over there at Waverly. And Waverly, I don't think, has been in the state final since 1975, the first year of the playoffs. Could this be a golden moment for them?
Well, and Stu, you know, we've talked about this. I thought maybe it was 1980 because I think they played McCook back in the 80. Yeah. So, and that will.
I don't think they've got a title.
Yeah. So, no. Anyway, that we were kind of remember that one. Some of the older guys around here kind of remember that Waverly McCook battle back in the day.
You were in diapers.
I was 11. I was 11 back then.
Okay, you were out of diapers. I was in high school. No, that was my first year of college. It was fall of 80. But, yeah, you look at Bainton, Elkhorn North rematched, and 2 games at Gretna. Who would have thought that York and Gretna would be playing, you know, this week? York went out to Scotts Bluff again. Never an easy road trip. Everybody knows that. But Nate Kelly was sidelined for Scotts Bluff. His backup performed admirably for about 3 quarters, but York scored the final 17, and Emmett Dirks, who's had his share of injuries through the years, kicks the quarterback for them, kicks the 31-yard field goal on the last play of the game. And then you got Gretna that scored 10 points in the last 30 seconds at Norris to win that game, 46-45.
Yeah, we caught some of those games on the way home after the Seward McCook game, including the game-winning field goal from York. That's crazy, going out there 2 straight weeks, and the Dukes get her done on the most important game. And you felt bad. I know, talking to their radio guy, Chris Cottrell out of KNEB, that Kelly not playing. Boy, that kid, we played against us. He was sometimes a one-man wrecking machine, and they would have loved to have him behind center, that's for sure.
Oh, he's a difference maker. And in 2 sports, you just hope that he's able to make a go of it for basketball. I don't know the extent of the injury. I know that in the game before, he was sidelined and came back and finished the game with 4 touchdowns. But evidently, when they reexamined him, he couldn't go.
We've got some big matchups, I know, in the 8-man ranks and the 6-man. I know the 2 8-man ranks, you know, Dundee County Stratton, you've had them on top of that D1 poll for a long time. Tigers will stay at home through the playoffs, and I think that Plainview matchup is going to be a good one at Benkelman coming up on Friday.
Exactly. I mean, Plainview, Northeast Nebraska is such a deep hotbed of football, always has been. And, you know, you've got Crofton up there and Plander and Wasta Osmond, you know, all still alive here. And, you know, D.C. Stratton, they're in a really good athletic cycle with, you know, between the boys and the girls. It's pretty amazing. Of course, when you got Spargos out there, that tends to help. But, that's a very interesting game. You know, Shelby Rising City's been plying through people. You can't rule out Sandy Creek either, the defending champion. They've got sophomore Cam Seeley at quarterback. Doesn't look like they've missed a beat either. And we still don't know how good Bridgeport is, other than, you know, D.C. Stratton had a very good win over them.
Yep, D1's going to be fun to watch. D2, Hitchcock County, unblemished in 10 games, and this is a rematch from last year playoff. I know Hitchcock went to Wynot, and Wynot beat him, and I know the Falcons would love to get a little payback this time around.
You know, whoever you send to Hitchcock, or no, it's at Hitchcock, right, this time?
Yep.
Okay. Last year, Wynot has a field that slopes 4 feet from goal line to goal line.
Wow.
Because it has to drain towards the Missouri.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen kickoffs go uphill. I covered one game up there. I'm going, whoa, what's this?
That's amazing.
Blue Devils, I'll tell you what, Blue Devils, boys, girls, one of the smallest schools in the state, they produce quality teams. I mean, you just got to tip your hat to their coaching staff. And Hitchcock, you know, I've had people say, well, maybe they should be the favorite. That win over Twin Loop, you know, 24-10, I don't know all the details. I think that's a really good matchup there. And it'd be a great proving measuring stick for Hitchcock County to beat one of the Blue Bloods.
Six-man ranks could be fun to watch. The battle to go to Kearney once again over the next couple of weeks. Southwest and the SEM going to hook up again. Southwest got them the first time. And, you know, darn well, SEM's they've been good over the past 4 or 5 years or so. They would love to get a little revenge on this one.
Well, certainly. You know, again, I think the top six all have legitimate shots of being in Kearney. Red Cloud and Garden County, neither one of them has ever won a state title. They'd be making history. Stewart's the defending champion. You know, Southwest undefeated. Silver Lake. You know, I think that's it's a good bracket. I don't see, you know, there's been some years where there's just been kind of a clear-cut, you know, buzzsaw. I don't see that this year.
And then when you get to A, C1, and C2, we don't really have any teams in our immediate area. But I tell you, that's Sydney Bunch and C1. My gosh. I mean, just the last couple of years in football, I've just been winning a ton of games and not losing too much. And they're 10-0 again this year.
They are. And they, you know, again, they've recovered from the Cabela's issue out there. You know, we thought maybe they'd drop all the way to C2. They kept their enrollment up. And again, great coaching, and they're, you know, sitting right there. Fort Calhoun's got to go out there, and I like Sydney to be in the semifinals again.
And of course, you get questions over and over, Stu, about Class A, and you got 4-9-1 teams hosting games once again, and how is that going to pan out over the next couple of weeks on the road to the championship match?
Well, there's no panning out. Millard South should win this going away. I mean, they've given up 20 points in 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just incredible number. You know, for those who haven't been following, Millard South won its first game out in Vegas, 48-7. Had to forfeit that for ineligible players used in that game. The kids got their eligibility back. Whole nother story. And they have just been a buzzsaw. Now, that said, they didn't play, other than that Vegas team, a team in state that had more than 5 wins until Westview last week, and Westview held them to 45. So they get Elkhorn South this week. I don't think Elkhorn South is quite the team that it's been the past couple years, but they're in the quarters. And again, I think Miller South gets the clock running on that one. Then they play Westside at Westside because Westside's the number one seed. I don't think it matters. I think Miller South probably running clocks that, and whoever makes the final is going to be a running clock.
I talked to Mike Patterson the other day, Stu. You and him are going to be busy like no other here over the next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, football and volleyball both.
Yep. I mean, it's still a fun time of the year. Again, I just wish we could figure out a way that we could avoid this overlap on Friday when it's the most important games. Honestly, I always like semis better than finals. And especially in volleyball and basketball. I mean, those are the really exciting days to me. And volleyball has this unfortunate overlap. You know, there's going to be at least three schools in Class A and B that have to split their loyalties because they're playing football at 7 and volleyball's either 5 or 7. And I just don't think that's right. I mean, we don't have this overlap in any other sport.
Yeah, we've got 2 or 3 teams in our coverage, so yeah, it could happen to us as well. So maybe next year they talk about it over the summertime and get something that's going to work for everybody next year.
I mean, I've looked. I don't know how we can get it done other than maybe moving volleyball earlier in the week, and then that kind of defeats the purpose there. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, I think what you could do is say the Friday schedule is to be announced because we do move soccer matches and baseball games at state for graduations. I think maybe we could have it. But then again, you've got the rest factor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going into the final, you don't have a day off. Baseball and softball is a little different sport. You don't have as much running. You don't have as much, you know, effort, I would say, not to disparage those, but there's a lot of standing around pitch to pitch.
Yeah.
And volleyball is constant motion, honestly, and football speaks for itself. So, I don't know if you could do that very well, and I don't know if you could, you know, maybe play volleyball the following Monday, but then you get the transportation issue, especially for the Western teams. They have to go back, come back to Lincoln or wherever, and so I don't know, maybe it's unsolvable.
Stu, it's always good to hook up, talk a little high school football, enjoy the week. I know we'll see you down here at Pinnacle on Thursday, okay?
I'd be glad to see you. Thanks, Rich, for the invite. Take care.